This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 26th, episode 1747, brought to you today by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine, it's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
And away we go.
Well, hello. Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Glenn, I know you wanted me to talk about the CCI four-star that is coming to Maryland starting in 2019. Yes, you heard it right. There's going to be another Rolex, but not called Rolex because Rolex isn't even called Rolex anymore. Right. There's like some other thing that we're going to talk about later on. I don't even know. So there's going to be another non-Rolex Rolex coming to Maryland. But what I really wanted to tell you about, like, great, that's going to happen. They've got plans to transform the venue and everything. They're going to do a lot of work on it. Really?
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Need some improvements for a non-Rolex Rolex.
Yeah. Did you see the article? It's in the Horse and Hound. And it is a nightmare that happened at Aachen.
No.
Where this girl, the Swedish combination of Juliet Rommel and the horse's name is Burial KH, had finished their Grand Prix test, and they're having their tack checked by an FEI steward. Well, the horse was wearing a fly veil, which apparently, I didn't know you had to remove those after you were done with your test. You can opt to have the bit checked, because they want to make sure you're using a safe bit. You can opt to have the bit checked after so you don't disturb your horse's mindset or whatever. So you can have your bit checked after. So I guess she was getting her bit checked after. The person who was checking the bit undid the noseband because it was a double bridle. I guess they really have to get all up in there. And the groom undoes the bottom of the fly veil and goes to pull it off the horse's head. But because the noseband was already undone, she pulled the whole freaking bridle off his head. This is an Olympic level.
Is this after
level.
She rode?
Yes, this is after her rode. She rode. They said Juliet immediately realized there was a problem and jumped off trying to restrain the mare. Well, the Swedish support team comes running up. You know, what does that do when everybody gets their adrenaline up around a horse?
Exactly.
Everybody's like, oh my God, this is the KWP and Gelding who represented Sweden at the Rio Olympics. Okay. Like this is an Olympic horse. Everybody comes running up, swarms him. Guess what happens? The team was unable to hold him and he fled with the bridle flapping around his chest and legs. Bolted.
That always makes
across
it better too.
Yeah. The pictures are of him bridleless with the bridle like kind of hanging down below his chest and he's galloping around. And apparently it says adding insult to injury for the rider who had just ridden a problematic test in the Nation Cup Grand Prix. It was far below the pair's usual impressive form. Juliet even made an error on course and then the freaking horse runs away. Oh my God.
Loose horse.
Yeah. But you don't yell that. You yell that at the horse trials I go to.
Yeah.
Where there's like, you know, 47 kids getting bucked off. And yeah, novice and beginner novice of training.
Not at Aachen.
And then you've got at Aachen, an Olympic level horse who's a freaking idiot groom grabs the the ear muffs and, you know, pulls it off his head. Anyway, I'll post this on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page because you have to see the pictures. It is absolutely crazy. And just to see that this is an Olympic horse, and you can see the pictures of it galloping around a dressage arena. You never see that. You just don't. Unless it was my dressage test, then usually the loose horse. But usually it has a bridle, just not a rider. Okay, so I'll post this in the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And while I do that, Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's HorseLovers.com Wednesday edition, we've got fantastic equine adventures aplenty. And we're going to start with another gold, old cowgirls never die. We keep on riding Facebooker. Lots of adventures going on in that Facebook page, Lisa Garrett Lowenberg, and she's going to stop by and recount her amazing trip to Iceland, complete with Icelandic pony riding. And then mid-show, Devin Horn has another update from her 500-mile riding adventure across Colorado. And then Justine Griffin reports on the adventure that is Heels Down magazine. And then, if the tides are in our favor, we're going to get a live listener report from the pony swim at Chincoteague Island. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my daily whinny goes out to the what seems like, judging by the little videos I saw this morning and the pictures from the pony swim over at Chincoteague Assateague Island. The Chincoteague ponies, of course, they swim them across and then they put them in holding pens and then they have auctions and it's a big party and lots of things go on. And it looks like it all went according to plan. They did them a little early this morning, so they did it at like 6:30. If you remember last year, Jamie, we had somebody live on a boat as they were going by during the show.
That's
last
true.
Year. Yeah, remember they were reporting live? Well, we couldn't do that. They were really early this morning. They were done swimming by 7. And then they have a little parade where they kind of herd them through town. And there are thousands of people lining the streets for this. It certainly is an event. And I noticed that on our auditor page, somebody posted, what are the bucket list things you want to do that involve horses? And a lot of them said go to the swim. So Wendy thinks that we should make this the annual vacation trip for all of the auditors to the pony swim every year. But that's what's going on. If you go to Twitter and search for #ponypenning 2017, you will see all of the pictures and videos from everybody that was there posting. So that's the hashtag. It looked like fun. And it is your turn.
Do you remember just a couple weeks ago, we had a jockey on from Sweden? Do you remember her name was Louise Pettersson?
Yeah.
And she
what is that?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe it's.
I don't know what that is.
Your cell phone's turned on.
Oh, it's a video. It's a video thing on the Pony Penning Twitter page.
Oh. That's it. You got a drink. Your cell phone goes off. You got a drink. Okay. So Louise Pettersson, who we had on, she was the jockey who rides for free. Do you remember that? Like,
oh, yeah,
she kind of just
we were like,
does
what kind
it.
Of crazy nut is that? Doesn't she do jump riding too?
I don't know. I don't think she jumped right. Anyway, she's just amazing. So she won a race, another race.
Oh,
so she got the win 2 days ago on a horse that I don't know what his name was. But anyway, congratulations to her. She won.
Good job. Good job.
Everything's in Swedish on her page. I can't find
it. I can't understand anything that you're reading.
It's like I don't speak Swedish or something.
And if you hit
the translate
button, sometimes you get a little bit of an inkling of what they're saying because the translate doesn't work too well.
Ig dag fick vi vinna tack rain kugas for at jag fick rida Wycliffe Egan.
That's exactly right. There you go. Exactly what happened. You know, I have a couple of friends on Facebook who are Canadian French. So they write a lot in French, and I have to hit the translate button, even though I had 4 years of French, and it still comes
you
out.
You had 4 years of French. You can't even say
it. I didn't do very well French. I flunked every. The reason I had 4 years is because it was really 2 years, and I flunked two of them. So it took me four to do two. I really don't like French. So why don't we, before we do anything else, I got to get this out of the way. I really do.
Uh-oh.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So this week's pathetic loser, I have two of them, actually. They are pathetic losers. And there are a couple of the cast that are with Cavaglia that are touring in China right now. Apparently, Cavaglia's been touring China since 2015. And everybody knows what Cavaglia is. I don't think I need to explain that. And they were Quebecers, apparently out of Canada, and they were arrested at their Beijing hotel on July the 14th. Global Affairs in Canada confirmed it is providing counselor assistance to the two Canadians who have been detained in China, and they were arrested for having marijuana in their rooms and a marijuana use. Now, you think you're going to China? If you're going, there's a couple countries I could recommend not getting arrested in. China yeah. would probably be one of them. So if I'm going to China, I'm probably going to leave my marijuana at home for a while, for a couple days.
I feel like, I mean, while I don't condone getting arrested in the United States or Canada, I do feel like maybe you should keep your nose clean in foreign countries. Yep. Like getting arrested in a foreign country, you think you got problems getting arrested in your home country? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Just leave the weed at home. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, Russia,
you don't
China.
Need it.
I can think of a lot of other countries that I don't want to get arrested in, like most of them. But, you know, especially the communist countries, not so good. I don't have as much tolerance.
I mean, yeah, just not a good idea.
No.
We've all seen Bridget Jones, okay? What happens to her in Thailand?
A spokesman for Cavaglia says Chinese officials, I love this line, Chinese officials have contacted the company to ask them to purchase plane tickets for some individuals who need repatriated. So let's get the hell out of China. You're gone. At least they're not going to jail.
They had no mock Dossi to come and get them.
That's funny. Oh my God. Anyway, that's my losers of the week out of China.
That's impressive. Good job, guys. Way to go.
Well done.
I found you. Do we have time for a news story? Or
yep.
Okay. Ahead. So I found this news story where it was, you know, the Queen has been the Queen for 64 years, and everybody knows the Queen loves horses. So they have a new exhibition at the summer opening of Buckingham Palace, and it is showing a selection of presents that the Queen has been given over the last 64 years from a choice of over 2,000 gifts given to her, representing every continent, including things with the equestrian spin, like a Portuguese saddle and a sculpture of Princess Elizabeth and a model of a Lipizzan stallion and a carriage. And President Barack Obama gave her driving bits, Liverpool driving bits with a presidential seal, gave that to Prince Philip. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that either.
Why would we know that? All these sculptures. But then I started going through the list of people give her. It's like the worst nightmare for me would be if somebody just gives me a horse. Like, here you go. Here's a horse. Well, she's been given a lot of horses, like a lot of horses. And it started in 1953. King Faisal of Iraq gave her an Arabian stallion. Also, an Arabian stallion named Crescent Moon and Arabian mare. The lucky one came from Yemen to celebrate the coronation. So at the coronation, she got two stallions and an Arabian mare. And then also at the coronation, she got two polo ponies from Argentina. A couple years later, she got a Golden Dun Akeltiki stallion. Then Lipizzaner stallions. Like, if you're going to give her a horse, give her a stallion. Why not?
Yeah.
Lipizzaner stallion in 1957 from Portugal. Polo ponies and a thoroughbred from the Sultan of Pakistan, 1959. And then it says in 1969, she got a black mare from Canada. It was from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. It's like, here's a black horse. Here you go. I know you just got a Lipizzan stallion, but whatever. Here's a black horse. 1969, from Austria, she got two Hoflinger ponies. Also in 73, another black gelding from Canada, which
Where are all these horses going?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, the stables are getting bigger at the Royal Mews. Centennial was the horse that was given to her in 73 from Canada, and it was used as a riding horse, included, but it was ridden by President Ronald Reagan of the United States during his official visit to UK in 82. Huh. So they turned him into a Metropolitan Police horse. Oh, wow. So that was, the Canadian horses seemed to actually be useful. In Australia, she got a bay filly. But it went to Sandringham. So that's her race training. Oldenburg and a Holsteiner from Germany in 78. She had some nice horses. Thoroughbreds and geldings, more Lipizzaners. Man, Canada, you guys have given her a lot of royal mounties. Well, it's almost well like trained. Like, which one can we get rid of? Where can we go? Yeah. Send it to Queen Elizabeth. And then in 2016, Black Gelding from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police to celebrate her 90th birthday. So anyway, I don't think those horses are there, but for £23, you can get into these. I mean, some of these sculptures are incredible. I wonder how big they are. Are they tiny? Are they huge? I don't know. Anyway, so very cool. 20. That's a lot of 20 horses have been given to the queen.
The one that's absolutely all right, beautiful.
Make a new stall. We got 18 stalls and 34 horses.
Something she was given help. An Australian state coach that was given to her in 1988 on an official visit to the country to mark the 200th anniversary. And that's kind of impressive looking. That's a nice little...
Oh my gosh, that thing's amazing.
It's a lot of gold on that baby. All right. Well, we have our first...
Like, finally, somebody gives me something useful. We can... Philip, you can have it. Yeah. Go out and then drive it around.
The horses. Well, we have our first guest ready. Speaking of doing adventurous things, with your time.
Oh, you're talking to me. Okay. Yes. Sorry. I was like, it's not time for Devin. We've got so many adventurous women on the show today. Okay. We're going to talk to Lisa. She's from the group Old Cowgirls Never Die, We Keep on Riding. And that's a Facebook page that we've talked about. I unfortunately am still not old enough to be a part of it. Whatever, a couple months and I can make it. But Old Cowgirls Never Die, We Keep on Riding. And several of the old cowgirls, I'm going to say old, but like I mean that respectfully, Lisa, okay? Just got back from Iceland. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. I don't want to call you old, but it says it right here.
I know, and today's my birthday, so I'm even older today.
Oh, happy birthday. Hold on.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, happy birthday to you.
I mean, come on, that's pretty fancy.
Wow,
to get a Willie.
That was my first birthday song today, so that's pretty good.
And you got a Winnie from Chile, so I mean, that's pretty special. So you just went to Iceland with a bunch of older, I'm so afraid of offending somebody for calling
them. I know, we're pretty proud that we're still old cowgirls, and we're a pretty tough group.
Tell us about your trip to Iceland.
Well, actually, this is my seventh trip in a row to Iceland.
Wow.
So I go every summer. 7 years ago, it was supposed to be my once-in-a-lifetime trip, and I just had to go one more time and one more time. And every time I go, I just tell my girlfriends about how wonderful it is, and I end up with a whole group that goes with me. And it's funny now, my group is usually people that I've met on Facebook, so I don't ever meet them until we get to Iceland face-to-face, and we just have such a common bond, you know, by the time we get there. You know, of course, the horse people are, you know, we're a little nuts, but, you know, we just adore going, and Iceland has become such a passion for me. I love the country, the people, and oh my gosh, the horses are so amazing. They're so special. As you can tell, I'm kind of passionate and I could go on and on about it.
It's crazy. But, you know, My dad is in his 70s, and he went to Iceland last spring, I think. Uh-huh. And it's so funny. I'm like, what is it? He's like, comes back, and he's like, well, we've planned our next trip. And I'm like, where are you going? He's like, back to Iceland, of course. Like, I'm like, yeah. Who goes to Iceland twice? You do.
Well, you know, the first time I was going, I thought, who goes to Iceland? You know, it's right? ice, but it's not. It's, you know, and the story is back when they discovered Iceland and Greenland, they didn't want anybody to go to Iceland. So they named it Iceland and Greenland, Greenland, and actually they're reversed. Greenland is ice and Iceland is green. So it's lush, it's green, it's beautiful. I live in South Florida, so it's a wonderful escape to get there and it be 50, 60 degrees, leaving, you know, 95 degrees. So I get, you know, a whole week of not sweating to death.
How but long is the flight from Florida to Iceland if you're just staying?
You know, it's really not that bad. We have to change planes, usually in New York, so it's about 3 hours to New York, and then it's 6 hours from New York to Iceland. So it's not bad, and most of the flights are overnight, which I'm too excited to sleep on the plane, but that's usually the plan, is to sleep those 6 hours. So we arrive in Iceland around 6-7 o'clock in the morning, take a shuttle over to Reykjavik, which is its capital city, and we spend the day just walking the cobblestone streets and going in the little shops and restaurants and see the fishing boats come in. And one of my favorite things to tell people, you know, coming from America and we're so scared of crime, there is almost a 0% crime rate in Iceland. And no kidding, you will see baby buggies parked outside the restaurants with sleeping babies in it, and the parents are inside eating lunch. And we would never even take our hand off the stroller in the United States. So
okay,
that's
amazing
crazy. In itself.
Okay, why do you think that is? I mean, is there like threat of getting your hand cut off? Is it, what's the...
No.
Why are people so...
No, there's very few police there. The police don't even carry guns. I took a little walking tour and they were like, this is our new jail system. And now we can house 17 people. We only have like 3 in there right now. And their biggest debate recently was, should it be categorized pizza if it has pineapple on it? And even the president got into this big argument. And I was like, really? Pineapple on pizza, you know? I wish that was our big debate in the United States. So
that is just refreshing.
Oh, that's funny.
That's hugely refreshing. So I love the country. Everybody there, you know, it makes us feel a little stupid. They speak 4 or 5 languages very fluently. So English is just very common, unless they're very old timers. They all speak English fluently. They're all happy to see you. You know, you instantly feel like you belong there. And they all treat you like family. And their sense of family is so amazing. You see fathers, sons, grandparents, all living either in the same house or next door to each other, and their family unit is just something that we're kind of not having so much anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
tell us, what the heck you and these old cowgirls were doing in Iceland? Because the cutest darn ponies ever there, so I'm sure it had something to do with that.
Yes, and you just broke the most cardinal rule right there, is you don't call them ponies.
Icelandic
horses. Yes. And genetically, they are horses and not ponies. There is a difference. But,
sorry.
Yeah, I call 18-hand horses ponies, though. So we'll forgive you on that one. But anyway, we go with a company that I've always ridden with called Riding Iceland. And they take us out. They have several different tours all over Iceland and a couple different tour guides that are running them. And on this one, we took a small plane and flew up north, which up north is, you know, Iceland's only about the size of Kentucky, so it's not that far. But we flew up north, and then we spent the next 6 days riding these Icelandic horses, and we go out. It's a pretty small group. There was about 15 to 20 riders, but we have a loose herd. This year, we had about 70 horses in the herd. and we travel, and we covered, I think it was 160 miles over the 6-day period, which it's rough terrain. We're over mountains and volcanoes and going through canyons, and there's waterfalls and crossing rivers. And moving with a loose herd of horses is just the most exhilarating feeling. You're either divided. We have front riders and we have back riders. So the front riders have the herd literally breathing on the back of your neck, and the back riders are catching the strays. There's always the troublemakers that don't want to stay with the herd. But we move at a pretty fast pace.
They're not actually breathing at the back of your neck. They're breathing at the back of your heels. They are tiny little horses.
So, well, they're tiny little horses, but these are some really sure-footed, strong. They're almost like draft horses,
right?
That are kind of miniaturized. So
they're little billy goats.
The Icelandic people are not tiny people. So you have men that are 6'5" riding these horses, and they don't look like you're on a Shetland pony at all.
Right.
So, you know, they're around 13 and a half, 14 hands, but built like little freight trains.
So
kind of thing. And
so you've got a herd that you're traveling with, and is the point to filter these horses in and out to be riding them and then get in fresh horse?
Yes.
Or are you actually like purposefully driving horses from one place to another? Or is it just all part of the ride?
Well, it's all part of the ride, and it's kind of simulating how they move these horses from grazing land to grazing land. So we're pretending to be Icelandic cowboys and as we're going along. But the herd, we change horses 2 to 3 times a day. You get a fresh horse, and the horse is pulled from the herd. So we are actually riding the horses in the herd. And so this week, I think I rode 13 different horses, which I couldn't tell you which was my favorite. The last day we get to pick our favorite, and it was really hard. You know, part of the trouble is it's hard to pronounce their names, so to remember who you were riding.
I like that brown one.
Yeah. Yeah, the brown one. Yeah, there's a lot of different brown ones, but you do figure out which ones you really like the best. And, you know, they all have their own little personalities, but all of them, they do a gait called a tolt, which is a 4-beat gait, which is equal to a walk, but they can do this tolt as fast as our horses here can gallop. So you are cruising along and over some rough terrain, but you never really feel exhausted or out of control or, you know, like I'm going to fall off. The way they carry themselves, you are so seated in the saddle. And at the end of the day, riding 6-8 hours, we're just kind of like, what are you talking about? We just got on. It's so exciting the whole time. And the scenery, I have to remind myself to look at where I am because I'm so excited about the horses. But there are literally volcanoes right there, snow-covered mountains right there, waterfalls. And it's so amazing. I always kind of want to go, can I do this ride one more time so now I can pay attention? But
I got to tell you, Lisa, I was looking at your Facebook page and I saw the video. I was watching all the videos and it is absolutely beautiful. But I was watching the video you talk about the tolt. There's one video from a distance where somebody was videoing you all leading the horses from a distance, and you were what appeared at first, because it was quite a ways away, to be a dead gallop. But then when you look closer, it's like, wait a minute, nobody's bouncing. You look closer and you see that you are at that sort of gated gate. But it was so cool to see you at the bottom of the mountain going across with all of the horses, the non-riding horses with you. It was just kind of it was a beautiful scene. It really was.
It is. And it is, I warn people, it's very addicting. You know, as myself, I probably need a 12-step program now to quit going. I'm already planning trip number 8. I just got home a week ago, and I'm already booking the next one and so excited. Part of our fun with our group is, you know, we kind of get our friends together and get into a group, and we plan all year long. And I think that's almost as much fun is actually being there.
So cool.
We become great friends, and we always have a few riders that have been added on from other European countries, and that's really great to share culture. And, you know, like I said, you have a common horse bond, and of course you're friends just as soon as you walk in. So
it's like
that's
camp.
Been really neat.
It's adult camp.
It is like camp, yes.
Going to horse camp in Ireland. I mean, in Iceland, excuse me.
In Iceland, yeah, exactly. And we feel like that, even though, you know, this year's group was the old cowgirls, we giggled and we had fun and we laughed at each other. And we're on Facebook now. We always make a little private group so we can discuss, you know, all the girl things, you know, like you need a sports bra kind of thing. And, you know, it's fun. We giggle with each other and we laugh and we plan and, you know, we're excited about the next trip. And, you know, it's neat to have some of them go back with me year after year. And it's a whole lot of fun to have new people join in. But, you know, we have people come visit from all over the world now. So it's really opened my eyes to different cultures. And
I want to clarify,
Lisa,
this wasn't only girls. You had men along too.
We had men along too. My husband has been going the last 3 years, and he's not really a rider. And I throw him in the saddle for a couple of rides before we go, and somehow he hangs on. And we did have a couple other guys go, and you know, they have a great time. And a lot of the tour guides are men. So, you know, if you're a man and you're going, you're not going to be the only man. But,
I've compiled a list for you of the actual, these are Icelandic pony names. These are the ponies you were riding. And so here's a list of the names going. So like when you're looking out at the sea of ponies that you're driving and they're like, which one do you want to ride? Do you say, I would like to ride Huskel Doer, or I would like Dag Bajutar, or Bjarn Heinonen, or Hrafnenberger, or go tack up Ulu Ustigil. I would take Bjorn.
First of all, I'm not sure that you're pronouncing them properly, but yes.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yes, I am. Clearly, I am nailing this, okay?
That's funny.
My favorite is Oogaloospigil, okay? I mean, obviously, that's right. That's got to be correct.
All right, Lisa, now important questions here. I'm a guy, so I have to ask these. I don't camp so well. Do you have to, like, camp in tents and stuff?
No, we're never in tents, or I shouldn't say never. There are a few trips that they do have tents, but they let you know that up front. This last tour we were on, we were in a guest house most of the days, and one day we stay, and it is my favorite, stay in the mountain huts. But the guest house is, you know, just like it says, it's, you know, not quite as luxury as staying in the Hilton, but you have regular beds and showers and, you know, they cook your meals, which the meals are amazing. I always want to lose weight on these trips.
Well, that was my next question because I'm not such a fish guy. And Jamie is a vegetarian. So are we both starving?
No, you're not starving. If you tell them up front, you know, I have a food allergy or I'm a vegetarian, they will make sure that they have enough food for you.
You graze with the horses.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't graze. Well, you could graze with the horses, I guess, if you want. But the food is plentiful. You're not, here's your small portion. You go, it's kind of family style, and it's abundant, and it's some of the best food I've ever had. They have served me a few things, just kind of like, here, try this fermented fish. But they do have regular food for you. So they give you some of their odd specialties just so you get a taste of the culture. But a lot of like roasted lamb, they do have fish, but the fish is freshly caught the day before in the icy waters. You know, so it's different than our fish. It's so fresh and
like real fish.
So amazing. Yeah. You may become a fish lover once you get there, but they will offer you, you know, foods that
You can actually eat.
If you've specified up front.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Now, we did a poll recently on our auditor page about where people wanted to go for a horsey vacation, and Iceland kept coming up. So what are people going to look at paying? You know, what have you been paying? What would you say with tickets and everything included? What are you looking at per person if they want to save their pennies to do this?
I would say, well, most of the tours vary a little, depending on which location you're doing. The tours are anywhere from $2,000 to $2,500. And your tickets, if you are really looking and a smart shopper, you can get a ticket round trip for $700 to $1,000 round trip. Okay. So you're looking anywhere from $2,500 to $3,500, and that includes everything. Okay. So, and when you're on the tour prices, everything's included because there's really not anything else you could spend money on while you're on these tours. So it's your food, your lodging, your riding. There's so many other things. On our tour this year, they took us whale watching. They took us to see some waterfalls. We went into a cave that they had found. So there's a lot of different things that they're doing. They took us on a bonfire out at the beach. They tell you stories. They really believe, but don't completely say they believe in trolls and elves and ghosts. So there's a lot of historical stories, and there's reasons why they take the paths they do, and there's stories behind it. This was a path that they, years ago had chased an outlaw, or there was a ghost this way or something. So there's a lot of reason, and it's very interesting, how they believe and why they go, the routes they go, and
very cool.
And how these people don't get lost on the tour is amazing. But there's piles of rocks, and those rocks have been there for hundreds of years, and that's how everybody knows to turn left. And I just look and go,
that's the way we used to give directions before GPS, turn left at the big oak tree down, about 2 miles down. Well, we are running out of time. We've run out of time. If somebody is interested next year, what would you say and they would love to go along with you, what would you say their best way to do that is?
They can either contact me, or they can go just onto the website, which is riding-iceland.com. And you can look on all of their tours there. Or if they want to, look for us on Facebook, our next tour is Midnight Sun. And we have a little Facebook page for the Midnight Sun. And those dates are June 24th through the 30th. So if they want to jump on our tour, we still have places open, especially since we just started doing it a couple days ago. So they can join ours, or, they can go directly to the riding-iceland.com.
There you go. Well,
that sounds good. And pick out a tour there.
Well, thank you so much.
I got to tell you one more thing. Yeah. Till Hamingju Med Afmelin. Do you know what I said? Clearly, because I pronounced it perfectly. I just said happy birthday in Icelandic. So there you go.
Oh, there you go.
Till Hamingju Med Afmelin. There you go. That was perfect. Now you got it. Now you get it.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, and my last statement, these are some of my only Icelandic words. The one thing I want to say about riding Iceland tours is it's hella vita gott, which means it is, I don't know if I can say this, but it's really, really good with another word in front of it that I probably can't say on the radio. So,
well, I speak Icelandic and I'm totally offended. I know what you said.
I was kidding. Thanks, Lisa.
Happy birthday. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
God, that does sound like a trip. I think people were getting goosebumps when they were hearing that.
Oh gosh, that just is incredible. I mean, I was just thinking of the possibilities of, those 360 photographs that you can do on your cell phone. Like, that's all I would do. And in the middle of it would be horse ears.
Look at some of the videos. And Jennifer, I think, is going to post something on the Facebook page. But look at some of the videos. Incredible scenery. Just incredible scenery. It really is. And the ponies, they're what does she call it? They're tolt? Is it tolt?
Horses. They're horses.
Yeah, sorry, the horses tolt. It's just so funny to see them go really fast and nobody's bouncing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Pretty neat. Well, put that on your bucket list, people. Well, here's something else you can put on your bucket list, and I got to catch up with her yesterday. Jamie couldn't join me. You were picking up the kid at the time. But when Devin calls and says, look, I have cell phone reception right now. You have to do the interview right now. You do the interview with Devin right now. That's how it works.
Yeah. And whatever, it's fine. You didn't want me.
Devin, of course, is doing her 500-mile ride with her gang of friends on the Colorado Trail here in the United States across the Rocky Mountains, and gives us an update. And she ran into some interesting weather and some other things along the way. So this is the update from Devin Horn. I have Devin Horn back, and she is, of course, with the whole gang, and they're called the Limitless Girls, who are doing on horseback the 500-mile Colorado Trail. And my God, girls, since I talked to you last, you guys have covered a lot of territory.
Yes, we have, and a lot of it has been really remote backcountry wilderness. The last 4 days were probably the hardest of the trip so far with elevation gain. And we are now situated just outside of Silverton at Little Mullis Creek, enjoying a rest day because the last week has really kicked our butt.
Tell us about the last week. I saw some of the pictures. You guys have had all the different kinds of weather.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We had to deal with snow drifts again, which of course the horses, our Texas horses, have absolutely no idea what we're doing at 13,000 foot elevation going through snow drifts. and we had the really great luck as we were crossing over this 7 mile pass to have a good old fashioned Colorado hailstorm with lightning and ragged thunder and this huge elemental storm, that we had to battle going over the highest point of the Colorado Trail. So our horses are really enjoying the rest day and happy to be back around 9,000 feet because we've been up around 12-13 for the past week or so.
What was it like to, I mean, are there any trees when you had the lightning storm?
No, not at all. We're up on the Bald Peaks.
How are you guys still alive?
I don't know. We just we gritted our teeth and got, you know, we were singing at the top of our lungs to kind of get our hearts to stop pounding out of our chest. And the horses were a little bit frightened, but, you know, as long as we kept it together, they were willing to follow us. And we just basically hunkered down and got that 7 miles done. It took us about 3 hours to go through that storm with all the lightning and the hail, which hurt pretty bad. And just getting it done, because it's not like we could stop and shelter anywhere. There was nowhere to go.
How scared were you at that moment? That had to be the most terrifying thing.
My adrenaline was going so hard. I could feel the pure adrenaline like in my veins and my wrists. So I wasn't scared. I was just really, really on. and it was a great feeling to come off that mountain, you know, and after the storm, you're descending off the peaks and the mountains are steaming and you're walking through the clouds that, you know, had been pelting you with hail for 3 hours. And it was just an amazing feeling coming down off that path and knowing that we'd made it.
How? Okay, so everybody at home wants to know how the horses are and how they survived all of that. And they're, you know, so we better answer that one.
Of course, yeah. They were really great. My pony, Zerk, he was not very happy with me when the hail started. But I just kept speaking to him reassuringly and telling him that, you know, this too shall pass. And he was, you know, he followed me with his head kind of under my coat a little bit. And, you know, I just told him, you know, once we get off of this, it's going to be much better. And he was willing to follow me. And he was just such a little person. So proud of him.
Now, were you guys all walking at that point?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No one was riding. We were, you know.
Nobody was going to be 3 feet higher than they needed to be.
Yeah. Everyone was pretty scared, so they were kind of down, you know, with the horses on level. But luckily, everybody made it through, and I've got some hail bruises, but nothing worse than that.
How has the weather been other than that storm? Has it been okay, or have you had storms every day, or?
The weirdest part is that was the worst storm we had. You know, the one day when we needed clear weather to make the 7 mile pass, we didn't have it. Other than that, you know, it's been kind of drizzling, you know, around 2 or 4 o'clock every day, but we've had some really good weather luck. It's been really, really beautiful out here. Nice and cold in the afternoons and the mornings, and the horses have been enjoying it. And we've had enough sun to dry out our gear after the storms for the most part. So It's been beautiful.
Yeah, that's something that people don't think about is the fact that you're everything is soaked and you're just wet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly, right. So we've been lucky to have enough rain to at least dry out the tents before we crawl into them at night.
Now, these are, you know, a lot of these are desert mountains. Have you had enough grass for the horses to eat every day?
Yes. In July, the grass really comes up, and we've had a lot of lush pasturage. We're also carrying a measure of Ultium, Purina Ultium, for each horse. So we are 25 days in, and the horses are looking really good. They haven't dropped too much weight, and they've put on so much butt muscle, you wouldn't even believe
it. I bet. Going up and down like that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. My pony didn't have any muscle, and now he looks like a little tank.
Was that the scariest part, the storm you had? Has that been the scariest part so far?
I think that's the thing that got my heartbeat racing the most so far.
So what? Yeah. So how about you guys physically as riders and the horses? Well, let's start with you physically as riders. Or speaking of butt muscles, you guys must be developing some too, as well as sores. So has that been an issue?
Definitely. Not as far as soreness goes, but I'm from Houston, Texas, which is at zero sea level. And I thought when I started this, you know, if I could manage a 1 or 2 mile sustained peak, I would be pretty happy with myself. That would be, you know, a really good goal to have. And I have been able to do about 10 or 12 mile sustained climbs, without a problem out here. The 30 days of like rugged boot camp out here in the mountains has done wonders for my fitness and as well as the rider's fitness as well. So, you know, every time we get off and walk, we're building our legs. And I think everybody, myself included, is just blown away by how fit you get walking out here.
You know what? The hikers call it the hiker legs. It takes they always say it takes about 4 days to get your hiker legs. And I guess you experienced that,
yeah.
Didn't you?
Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't really have very high hopes for myself because I'm a Houstonian. We don't have mountains or anything. We're swamp people. It took about a week or so. And now I'm busting these inclines like there's nothing. And it's amazing. I mean, I'm sure Zerk feels the same way, my pony. You know, at the beginning, he was huffing and puffing. And now he's just like, yeah, whatever, 13-foot paths, no problem.
Now, you're part of a group of five, what's called the Limitless Girls, and I just, first of all, can't imagine five girls together for 40 days, but I'm coming to that as a guy. So has anybody gone, oh, I need to end this, or have you all been troopers?
So far, we've been really good at coming together. You know, when you're in a party like this, everyone's going to have a day where they just kind of feel pretty down. And luckily, you know, we have a bunch of really, you know, good girls out here who are willing to take up the slack when people have a bad day. So, you know, a day ago, you know, right before we got to Silverton, one of our members was having a really slow day and her pony was tired and she was really, really tired. And so we went ahead, we left her on the trail, which sounds really bad, but we left her on the trail, we got to our camp spot, we got everything ready, we pitched all the tents, we got the high lines up, and then we walked backwards on trail on a cold coat for her and got her horse for her and walked her in as a team. So I think that, you know, we're good enough at this and we have such experienced horsemen, you know, especially now that we've been out here for so long, we can pick up the slack when people are tired and hurting. And luckily it doesn't hit us all. Well, so far it hasn't hit us all at the same time. So
would you ever do this by yourself? This trip?
You know? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I really like the girls I'm with and, we're having a fabulous time, but this is such a bucket list trip and so beautiful. And I've learned a lot about myself. I think it would be something really good. If you're considering taking like a reflective, break or like a self holiday, this trail is so beautiful. It's a perfect place for kind of some internal reflection.
And, you know, I mean, hiking or bringing your horse along either way. Right. So
Well, it's a beautiful hiking course, but there's something really, you know, passionate and primal about bringing your horse on something like this. You know, you really grow close.
How about hikers? Have you seen a lot of them?
Hikers?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of hikers, a ton of them, and they're always very surprised that we're doing the whole thing with our horses. It's kind of a novelty. And they, you know, always asking, you know, what do you, you know, how do you feed them? You know, how do they do this? How do they make it past some of the really narrow spots? And, you know, we're always willing to share our story and hear theirs in return. We've met some really cool people out here.
That community, the hiker community, pretty much sticks together. You know, if you, you're on the same boat, right? It's
exactly. Yeah. And we've also encountered a ton of mountain bikers, which is really cool. This is one of the only trails, you know, in the U.S. that's open to both hikers, horsemen, and mountain bikers. And there's no problems. You know, there's no trail animosity. It's really cool that, you know, we're able to come out here and share this path.
Well, and, you know, that's been a problem. We've had that discussion just recently about how the bikers and the horse people aren't getting along. So you haven't had a problem with the bikers coming up on the horses and causing problems and all of that?
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And some of them don't understand horses, but they're more than willing to learn, you know. We have not had a single problem with somebody coming up and refusing to give trail or not being accommodating. You know, we're all out here, and you know, being out in the remote wilderness with somebody makes you kind of civil. Especially, you know, wilderness manners and all that. You don't want anybody to not take kindly to you. And everyone's been really, really hospitable and giving us what we need and the space that we need. And, you know, vice versa as well. We're more than willing to get off trail. You know, usually what happens is when we're going up the hill, we pass the mountain bikers. And then when we're going down the hill, they pass us.
Well, that is terrific. I'm so excited for you guys. I bet when you got to town, you were really ready to eat something that wasn't dehydrated or oatmeal.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I had a beer and an avocado sandwich from Candlebar Silverton, and it was the best meal I've ever had.
and you really want to have about three more, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we went into town for breakfast again this morning, and we're going to go back in town one more time to eat dinner tonight, and then we're back on the road. It'll take us about 4 days to hit the finish line, I think.
So you're 400 and some miles in at this point?
Yeah, 425.
425. And you've been averaging 20, 25 a day?
Around 21, the horses start getting a little hangry.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So we're stopping around 20 and doing a couple 15s, and then, of course, incorporating our rest days so that we can make sure they get as much fodder as they need.
Well, good for you guys. I'm so excited to see the pictures. And talk about beautiful. I mean, you're in the Rocky Mountains. It's just beautiful.
It's amazing. I mean, like, takes your breath away on some of these passes to just be out here and be experiencing this.
And we've seen yourselves.
Moose and bear. And
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
What have you seen?
We've seen all sorts of moose, bull moose, mama mooses, baby mooses, meese, something. And we've seen bears, and we've heard a whole bunch of coyotes and wolves. Although luckily we haven't had any bad experiences with any of the tertiary predators out here. And we've seen all sorts of marmots and pikas and martens and, you know, birds of prey. It's been amazing.
Now, what were you doing at night? Were you using bear bags to keep your food up, or what? What were you doing at night?
We are, yes. Yeah. That's one of our favorite things is tying the bear bag tree, because we actually take our hoof nippers, you know, because we have a full trim set, and we wrap a piece of paracord around it, and then we fling it over a branch, a tall branch, yeah. And then we hoist one of our panniers for the bears and tie it off, and just throwing those nippers every night because we're so bad at it is just a piece of hilarity.
Have you had any critters come into camp that...
No, I had a weasel steal one of my trash pieces one night, but that's as exciting as it's gotten.
No bears knocking on your tent door.
No.
Well, I'm glad. It's so cool because a lot of the hikers say they never see any wildlife. I'm glad you got to see all of that.
Yeah, I think the horses afford us a little bit of camouflage, and the wildlife are a little bit more willing to let them get closer without realizing that they're humans.
So,
I think maybe that's working in our favor.
Well, cool. Well, I'm so excited for you, and I'm so glad you're almost done. I bet you guys are all ready to be done.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to be a little sad when this is over, when we have to go back to our normal lives. But I think we're definitely all ready to stop eating dehydrated food.
I bet.
Yeah, with certainty, I can say we're all ready to stop that.
Well, I would love it. I know you'll be back by then. I would love it if we could get you, because obviously the Mongol Derby starts next week. So
yes, I'm so excited. I'll be back right in time to watch Leslie and Liv.
Well, we would love it if you would join us and help us with the coverage for a little bit some of the days of the Mongol Derby.
That would be so much fun.
Great. Well, I'll get in touch with you when you get back next week, and we'll get that arranged. We're going to be doing special coverage every day and putting out even special episodes as we get word. So thank you again for joining us and letting us know about all your adventures in the Rockies.
No problem, Glenn. I will talk to you in Durango.
All right, we'll talk to you next week when you're done. Yay!
All right.
Thanks, Devin. Okay, so imagine, Jamie, you're on the highest peak in the Rockies with no trees in a massive thunderstorm with you, five of your friends, and your horses.
That's amazing.
Lightning and hail everywhere. And she said, and I loved her comment, we survived it except for a few hail bruises. I can honestly say in my life, I've never had hail bruises. So I kind of don't even know what that is, but it doesn't sound pleasant to have hail bruises.
Just a couple of hail bruises, though. I mean,
okay.
No hail laceration.
There are some people in the world that are just tougher than others. And Devin's one of those people.
Yeah.
Oh, God. She is going to join us next week for the coverage. She told me after, she said that the alumni for the Mongol Derby have betting pools. And they watch the races. Dude. They watch the race results every day, and they have betting pools. They actually wager money to see who's going to win. I said, you know how Hunger Games that sounds?
Send in the tributes.
Yes. And then I said, well, then we're going to send our little packages in to Leslie as she's going along on little helicopters or something. It's just crazy. Just crazy. But she will be back. So, that starts next week.
What I want to know, if you talk to her again and I'm not there, what I want to know is who is she betting on? Like, we need to know, like, who everybody kind of thinks. Like, are they going,
well,
definitely,
we're going to have
don't
her
pick
back.
Leslie Wiley.
We're going to have her back before the Mongol Derby starts, so you can ask her yourself. She's going to come on the show and talk to us a little bit about who everybody's wagering on. But I just thought it sounded so Hunger Games. It really did. Oh, geez. Who do we send our ointments to? Who has the biggest rashes? We can just send that little parachute in with her.
It costs a lot of money. You need sponsors, Glenn.
Yeah, I know.
Need
I
more
said,
sponsors.
I said, well, we can take up a collection and sponsor Leslie's rash ointment. So,
I think this would be an ideal opportunity to test one of those Google or Amazon delivery drones.
Oh, yes, the delivery drones. That'd be perfect.
I wonder if they go into
the. That won't scare the Mongol ponies at all.
No. Be fine. Hey, let's talk about horse lovers real quick before you forget, because I was just looking at the deal of the day. This is today's flash sale, and there's, you know, I mean, it's Ariat. There's Ariat, a really cold jacket if you want to prepare for the fall. But as far as springtime go or summertime right now, there are some Roper Ladies Bianca Southwest sequin fabric casual slip-on shoes. Say that five times fast. Roper Ladies Bianca Southwest sequin fabric casual slip-on shoes. $22. Oh my gosh, I have to have them. Damn it.
They do look so you. I'm on there right now. They kind of look you. I could see you wearing these. They definitely could.
Yeah, and they're like little, they look like Native American beading kind of thing. It's so adorable. What else are you shopping for today, Glenn?
Well, I saw that they had a 70% off sale of closeouts. And now there's limited sizes on some of these, but Ovation's one of our big sponsors too. They have the Ovation Cora Country Boots. Those are the ones that are light tan and the darker brown altogether on the same tall country boot. And they're $86 down from $160. Now, they have a few sizes left. So if you want to have the waterproof boots that we all walk around in Rolex, then that's that right now is the time. If you have one of those sizes, they also have, and I was checking these out too, and we've had reviews on these before and people loved them, the Ladies Sorrento, Ovation Ladies Sorrento full seat breeches. Now, full seat breeches usually are $100 plus, right?
For at any, least, yeah.
Yeah, for any full seat. Well, they have sizes 26, 28, 30, and 32. So they have a number of sizes in these, in cobalt, black, jade, and navy, marked down from 110 to 54.
Wow.
Yeah. On a full seat.
That's amazing.
That's a pretty, pretty good deal. On an Ovation full seat, Sorento, that's pretty good deal. And a multitude of colors. You can even get purple. You can get purple.
There's some field boots, Mountain Horse field boots that are gorgeous on here. And they're from 300 to 150. So 50% off. That's good math for you right there. But yes.
Yeah, good job, that's Jamie. Cool. We count on you for the higher education on this show.
You and me both, man. We're math people.
Yeah, fun. That's right.
We are math people.
Yeah.
Dude, there's just such great deals. So right now, the deal of the day is that there's a huge sale of everything. Like, that doesn't help me get anything done today.
Did you order the casual slip-on shoes yet?
It might be in my shopping cart.
I can see you wearing these, by the way. They're so you.
We're not going to talk about it. There's a mono flap saddle for $900. It's gorgeous. Ovation Tierra mono flap. Yeah, this is, I don't need another saddle. And I certainly don't have $1,000. But if you are in the market, there is one. 1K helmets are for $160. This is a problem. Okay, horselovers.com.
All right. Horselovers.com.
There's pink sparkly bell boots?
Yes.
And we will continue. I wanted to mention that we will continue the Horse Lover segment of the product reviews done by our listeners on Stable Scoop. That's not going away. So that will continue.
What page are the pink sparkly bell boots on, Jen? I have to have them. Zeus has to have them.
They're in the 70% off sale.
Oh my gosh.
Is Zeus a medium?
Yeah. They have a size.
Let's see what size they have. They only have them in small and extra large.
Well, that would be Thor. Thor would look good in those.
Yeah,
he'd be so embarrassed.
Thor, who doesn't have any shoes on, would look great in bell boots.
He'd look great in his pink bell boots.
I think Zara is going to need extra large someday, so maybe I'll buy those for her.
You know what's problem with horselovers.com is not only can you spend a lot of money, you can kill about an hour every day. Just going through there. You really can. Well,
oh my gosh, is that three row of stone brow? It's like a three brow bands in one, and they're all stone, like crystals, $34. Get out. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done for the day. Glenn, take over.
Well, we have Justine coming on right now from Heels Down Magazine. I just wanted a programming note that after Justine is done today, we have confirmed that we're going to hear from Kimberly Cornelius, who just got done watching the pony swim in the parade over at Chincoteague Assateague, and she is going to check in with us and call in. So, Jennifer, you can look for her call, and we'll get a live report from there. But, Justine, how are you?
Hey guys, I'm great. How are you?
Good. And listeners, regular listeners to the show will be going, where's Caroline? Well, she's on vacation in Europe someplace, right?
Yeah, she is. She's just out gallivanting across Europe right now with her friends and her boyfriend. So we're all very jealous over here back at the magazine.
Bet you are.
Wow.
Bet you are. And Justine, for those that have listened to the first two episodes, there's been quite a few thousand of you that have listened to the first two episodes of Heels Down Happy Hour, the newest show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Heels Down Magazine. Justine is the one that brings the drink recipes because apparently she's an alcoholic.
I just downloaded it. Yeah, so I haven't listened yet, but I'm really excited because I too am a drinker. So.
Oh my goodness. I love sisters. That's my claim to fame now.
Yes. You're the alcoholic of the group, apparently.
Oh, well.
Yeah, there you go. What the heck? But we do know she's sober right now because it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. And apparently they only start drinking over at the magazine at noon.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. No, just coffee in my mug right now.
Okay,
so.
Good. All right. Well, Justine, what are we talking about today?
So I wanted to give you guys an update on Aachen because that's actually where why Caroline's still in Europe. After working really hard at the horse show last week, she decided to take some time off. The horse show was just amazing following the updates from Caroline and the rest of the Heels Down team that we had over in Germany. I mean, it's just a beautiful horse show and it's enormous. They have 350,000 spectators, And I just think that's amazing for a horse show. So, and they sell out. So even like the Show Jumping Grand Prix Stadium has seats for 40,000 people and it's sold out, which is really great to see. So I don't know if you guys were kind of following along this week, but the show is just beautiful. I don't know if you saw the cross country course or any of that, because yeah. I'm happy to kind of talk to you about it.
Yeah, sure. You know, we did cover who won what on Monday, but we haven't gotten the report on, you know, what was their favorite parts? What things stuck out to them as they were covering over there?
Justine, we covered the big deal this morning as well. Like, kind of the biggest news story to come out of Aachen was not the competitions, and it was not the amazing horsemanship you saw. It was not the victories of the countries. It was the loose horse that got its bridle pulled off.
Oh, my goodness.
We do the serious news here, Justine.
Yeah, that's the news we bring to the show, okay?
Maybe hey, that is exciting, though.
Yeah, you can give us some real Aachen news, so please go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess just for background, Aachen is a city in Germany, and it's about an hour from Brussels, just to give you an idea geographically where it's at. But it's not a huge city. But it's, you know, it's still a city. So what was interesting is that it's very easy to get around. It's a very accessible show for, you know, say Americans or anyone who would be in Europe that wanted to see it as a spectator. It's very accessible. They had free shuttles running through the city to get people to the showgrounds. And what Caroline and Patricia were really just impressed with was just basically the fundamentals of putting the show together. Like, who are the event people who put this together? Because they had a lounge for bloggers and influencers. So people who have, you know, who are big on social media or have their own YouTube channel, they literally cater to those groups too, in addition to, you know, the normal equestrian.
We go to the wrong shows, Jamie.
I know, right? They had a lounge. Caroline was saying they had beer gardens everywhere and pretzel stands and lots of food and lots of great places for spectators to just sort of hang out in between classes. But it's a big show. There's a lot to see. Not only are there, you know, the Olympic disciplines like dressage, eventing, show jumping, but there's vaulting, which I have never seen live. And that sounds amazing. And driving. So it's just a really big week of all things horses over there. So, you know, besides like all the really wonderful, you know, winners like Laura Graves winning the Grand Prix special on her birthday, I think, the U.S. came tied for second in the Nations Cup in show jumping. It just seems like it was just a fun place to get up close to some of the big international professional riders. I heard that the warm-up ring was really accessible. It's very easy to kind of stand by and watch your favorite riders just warm up. It wasn't like tucked away anywhere or restricted, so anybody could watch the warm-up. And during cross-country, the cross country course actually went through the main show jumping stadium where they actually had, I think they had a water jump in the main stadium, but the vet box was back in the warm up area. So spectators could see someone like Michael Young get off his horse and care for his horse after the course. And actually, I guess Michael Young's mom was like so happy for how well he did. She was there like on the sidelines at the vet box, helping with the horse at the end of his cross country ride. And so that's like the kind of scenes you don't get to see unless you're there and you have access, which I think is really cool.
That is neat.
Yeah, that's incredible. And how do you know it's Mike Young's mom? Is it just because she like attacks him and hugs him and smooches him like crazy?
Yes, yeah. She's very animated and she's sort of known. I think people know like, oh, that's Michael Young's mom because she's so animated and so excited for him after every show.
Now, is he personal? And I don't know if you know this in the movies. Is he married? Is he dating? What's his story?
Oh, my goodness. I
don't know that either, actually.
I need people to find out.
I just Googled it, and it's one of the top things that come up when you start typing Michael Young into Google. You know, like
is
how
he single? Is that come up?
It just says Michael Young married, so clearly many people have this before us.
I just did is a Michael Young, and it said married was the first one. Not a rider, not amazing, not like a Superman. No, is he married? Okay, so I'm not the only one who wanted to know. People also asking Google, where is Michael Young from? How tall is Michael Young? How old is Michael Young? Who is Pippa Funnel married to? Maybe Michael Young. We don't know.
We're the hard-hitting news here on Horses in the Morning.
Oh, no, you actually came with like some information. So go ahead. Sorry. Gotcha.
Well,
no,
Justine, that leads us into the article you wanted to talk about too. Perfectly, actually.
Sure. So in the July issue of Heels Down magazine, we always run an equestrian dating piece. So, you know, we've all had those like awkward moments when you're dating someone who's not familiar with horses and the, you know, those stumbling blocks of your relationship as your boyfriend tries to get to know like what it's like to date a horse girl. This month I wrote the piece, and I wrote about what it's like to trailer your horse when you have a horse that doesn't like to load with your boyfriend for the first time. So if you can imagine all of that going on all at once and then dropping your poor like boyfriend who knows nothing about horses into that scene with you. So it's been.
And all we want to do is help. We want to help.
Why?
And we get yelled at for that.
Why do you guys, when you're loading a horse, think that standing behind the horse and clapping is going to make them
because
go in the
it makes the most sense. You just scare the horse into the trailer.
That's really horse savvy. We appreciate your help. Go sit in the car.
Well, that's what ends up happening, actually, is we end up getting told to go sit in the car. And all we're trying to do is help. And then we don't understand why you're pissed off. And then that just creates a thing. Am I right here, Justine?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. Well, the good thing is, so my boyfriend, who is now my husband, when I wrote about this, he was terrified of my mare because she was the type who would walk in the trailer and then, you know, blow out the back really crazy. Like she would run him over if he was standing behind her. And he learned the hard way a couple of times and developed some pretty ninja like moves to like fly in the air to get out of the way. But our trick was always that he hung out at the side of the trailer where she couldn't see him so he could latch the butt bar really fast. But she could smell him. It was the funniest thing. Like she would, her nostrils would flare and she would be smelling for him to see if he was outside the trailer.
She didn't like guys, did she? She especially didn't like your husband.
No. She knew too. Like when he showed up at the barn, like she knew like, oh crap, I'm getting in the trailer today.
Because the only time he showed up, we just recorded last night the latest episode of Horse Husband. So I encourage everybody to listen to that tomorrow morning because we talk about a lot of those things from our perspective.
No, that's great.
Justine, though, has it changed? Is your husband now your, you know, boyfriend then, now husband, is he horsey? Does he get involved much?
I mean, he is my biggest cheerleader. I wouldn't say he's horsey by any means, but he knows how to, you know, hold my mare at the side of the show ring when I have to go to the bathroom, or he's good at carrying a bucket with water and some, you know, some treats at the side of the horse show ring. And he's great at the truck now. He's really good at, you know, loading the trailer, getting it all hooked up, ready to go. But I wouldn't say he's horsey, no. So.
See, we learned how to do the truck stuff and trailer stuff because we don't get in trouble for that. Pretty much
yes.
We're doing that while you're off doing something else with the horse. And then it's quiet time for us to not get in trouble.
Exactly.
That's right. I mean, that's pretty much when we go to horse shows, you learn this, though. I mean, it takes you a little while to learn this. But after you you become seasoned, you just learn how not to get in trouble. That's what you're trying to
avoid.
For our
single friends, there's a meme going around that says, I don't need a boyfriend. I have a very expensive horse locked up in a stall where it cannot leave me.
Oh my goodness.
That's for all you single ladies. All the single ladies.
And poor Avery, I got to say, for our listener, Avery, who's listening right now, I know she is. We kind of threw you under the bus in the Horse Husbands episode because of one of your questions. So you might want to listen for that tomorrow, too. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh,
women are not
no.
allowed to listen to the Horse Husbands episode. So you'll never hear it, Avery. You'll never hear it.
Oh, gosh.
Justine, where can people find out more about the magazine?
Sure. You can visit our website, which is heelsdownmag.com. But we're a monthly digital magazine. So every month we have a new edition that you can download through Android or on the App Store for iPhone or an iPad. And we post really interesting profiles on cool riders. Also, lots of grooming tips, riding exercises, everything from even legal advice for your horse. And every month we have a new edition. So our August issue comes out soon.
Very good.
And now you have a new assignment. your new assignment, should you choose to take it, Justine, is you dig in there and you find out if Michael Young is married.
All right,
or
I will.
Gay or whatever, but girlfriend. We need to know. I need some personal information. I need you to get in there and be like the Us Weekly of the horse world, okay?
All right. Thanks. So who's the other woman in his life that's not his mom at the horse shows?
Exactly.
All right.
Or man. Good. I mean, I'm not for either one. I want the information.
All right. I'm on it. I'm on the case.
Do you think as a mom with somebody, you know, I was thinking about this, but apparently the answer is no. When you're a mom of somebody who just wins everything all the time, does it get just like blasé? But apparently in her case, not blasé.
No, she seems very excited every horse show. So
he's blasé. He don't care.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Have you ever interviewed him, Justine?
I have not. Not personally.
He's kind of a tough interview because he's so laid back. I mean, he's just chill. I mean, he's just chill. But well, he wins everything. That's for sure.
He's a good horseman.
He does.
And of course, Heels Down Happy Hour. Go to our app, Horse Radio Network app, or any podcast player. Just search for Heels Down Happy Hour. They got two episodes in the can, another two coming out. It's happening twice a month. I think if you're looking for something that's kind of the end of the day version of this, then Heels Down Happy Hour is where you want to go. And Justine does give a drink recipe every single episode.
Cheers,
my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Justine. Appreciate it. All right, take care.
Thank you.
Those guys are all fun over there. They really do have a good time. But now, coming to us live from the islands, where she just watched a bunch of ponies swim and a parade, we have a live report with us right now from Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly.
Good morning.
So how early were you there to watch the ponies this morning?
We were there about 4 a.m.
Whoa. Okay.
And we had the pleasure of being here for what is going possibly on record as one of the earliest pony swims in their 92-year history.
Yeah. Why?
Why did they start it early? She told us last week, but I've forgotten.
They are waiting for what is called the slack tide. There's a period between the high and the low tide where the water is very, very calm.
Got it.
And this year happened to fall right around 7 a.m. So everybody gets there very early to get their spots in the park or on the pony swim lane so that they can see.
Okay. Question. I'm sorry. I've never seen this. I've only heard people talk about it. When you say pony swim lane and you want to get out in the pony swim lane, are you hopping on a boat or are you just like treading water for 2 hours? Like, how does it work? How do you get on the pony swim lane?
There is a kind of marsh that you can go stand in. And my understanding is it's between some privately owned houses, but it's muddy and marshy and a little bit stinky, and people will go stand there, and that's actually giving them the very best views because they're directly alongside of where the ponies are channeled across the little inlet. And then I was watching from Memorial Park, which was probably about 300 yards away. So not that part wasn't so up close and personal, but there's a price to pay if you want to be right there.
Yeah. Like sounds like mosquitoes and marsh. Yeah.
Leeches.
Yeah. Leeches.
You know,
whatever. Now, I haven't heard anything about leeches, but definitely stinky mud.
How long are they in
Nobody
the water, Kimberly?
They were in the water 4 minutes and 41 seconds.
All right. So they're swimming across there at a pretty good pace then.
Yeah, they're swimming at a pretty good pace. And it's actually the channel that they swim through isn't very long. So that's good because a lot of them are foals.
Now, they then go as a parade. The cowboys take them through town, right? And I saw pictures this morning, a little bit of video from the parade. It looked packed, like three or four deep the whole way.
Yes. So everybody goes from either comes up along where they were in the mud or over from the park and lines the street where they, and then they drive the ponies through town over to the carnival ground. And I guess having walked from the park in the opposite direction, probably about a mile.
Okay. And so was this your first time?
This is my first time being here.
Was it worth it?
So far, it's been, yes, it's a lot of fun. Something I've wanted to do ever since I was a kid and saw the movie. So it's fun.
And are you staying to buy
one? And one of the cool things, yes, I'm actually camping on a nearby campground. And maybe a mile and a half from the carnival grounds. And then just across the channel from Assateague Island. And one of the cool things for anybody who wants to come do this next year is you can come the day before and go over to Assateague Island and see the ponies in the holding pen where they've been rounded up the day before, get a sneak preview of your ponies, and then tour the island. There's all sorts of trails, go to the beach, go swimming. The town's great. It's very approachable, lots of interesting shops. And then the theater here in town actually has a free showing of the movie Misty of Chincoteague at 11 a.m. every day.
Oh, there you go. That's perfect. And are you going to go to the auction and buy one and take one home in your car?
No, unfortunately, I'm not able to stay for the auction, but I did contribute to the fire department with a dollar raffle for the first foal that came aboard. So I'll find out if I won the first foal tonight at 7:30.
All right, good. Well, thank
good
you.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Thank you for your live report. Have some funnel cake for us, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right, enjoy.
Take care. She was really selling it, crawling around in the marsh to watch.
No, you know what, though? When I hear that, I'm like, way to go, girl. Like, you had a dream and you had a goal and it took you some time. And by God, you got it done.
I don't think you realize how immensely popular this is. It is hugely popular.
No, I know how. I know it is. I know it is. I'm just saying, like, it was immensely popular and it was a life goal. And I just, like, I love women who just, like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'll camp out. I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm going. I want to go that bad.
It's a huge deal every year for people to it's on the bucket list for most horse people, I guess, who saw the movie and you know, who read the books and want to go it. It would be fun to see, you know, she invited us up. We can go next year. And she said that we could do our show from there and she'd show us the town. So we'll have to try and do that sometime. It would be fun to see. That is a once in a lifetime thing for sure. Yeah. Well, what a fun show. Thank you everybody for joining us. We really appreciate it. Before we go, I'd be remiss in not getting a report. You posted a video yesterday.
I did. Bless her little heart. She is so sweet. Are you talking about my little precious magic gallop, Jenny?
Yeah, because I couldn't remember the name, so I was just going to say pony. But
you're like her. That
yeah,
horse.
That one. That precious gallop.
I call
thing.
Her Magic or PMGJ. So that's
yeah, that rolls off
kind
the
of
tongue.
How I type it. Yeah,
PMGJ. I'll remember that.
That should be easier. I did some more line driving with her. I started line driving her. Like, you know, first of all, she needs to work and she needs to understand the bit, but she doesn't really necessarily need a whole bunch of weight on her back yet. So I've ridden her a couple times here and there, and then I've been driving her. And I meant to ride her yesterday, but I went over to see her and ride her. And I realized with all the torrential rain, it's monsoon season here, the arena was super wet. So there's all these puddles. So I'm like, I'll just drive her around in there. Holy cow. No, I'm not going to drive her in there because geez, Louise, those puddles are serious death traps with alligators in them. I mean, you would think that this horse had never been wild. She was just like, that's the worst thing ever. So I ended up convincing her in a very nice, quiet fashion that the puddles were awesome and she should go through them. And I got to tell you, I got to give credit to all the Monty Roberts training that I have had because it just changes the way you do things. There's no emotion. There's no I get upset or she gets upset. It's just you want to go. I want you to go this way. No, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to go that. Nope, nope, no. I say no, not that way, not that way, not that way. Oh, good, you figured it out. Go straight. You know, it's such a fun way to approach horses. I think I'm a better parent now because of it. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. Good, you got it. Very nice. So. I wanted to get a video, but there was nobody there. So, I held the camera in my hand and the lines in my right hand, or sorry. Yeah. In my right hand, the camera in my left hand, or the phone. And I was like, I know she's not ready for this. It's probably going to have to be deleted, but I drove her with one hand up to a puddle and she walked right through it. It was so nice. She's such a good girl. I'll try to post that on the Horses in the Morning page as well. Cause for some reason, you people love it when I post videos about me, like, doing anything with her. And I've told people it's really boring. I'm just line driving, or I'm doing join up, or I'm hopping on her and walking her around. They're like, we love it. That's awesome. Give us more. So
I think
if you are
a lot
tired
of questions
of it,
about line driving, too. And, of course, that's something in the driving world. We do ground drive them before you put mm-hmm. them in the carriage. But a lot of people have never done that. So I think that's fascinating to people.
It's really, really cool because you can actually teach. I kind of thought with her, you know, I'm going to get her to do everything through the lines before I do anything with her, you know, because I've jumped her at the line, you know, free jumping kind of with lines on. And she was really good at that. So let's back things up a little bit and let's see if I can just get her to do everything. I had her climb a big dirt pile yesterday. I had her go by the pool pump, which she was super unhappy about. It was a monster. And then by the, you know, in a couple minutes, she's just walking by it. No big deal. And to get her do all that stuff from me, like 12 feet behind her, as opposed to sitting on her little pony back and have her ditch me, you know, like a spook. So line driving has been really fun. It's really taught her about the bridle. I had to switch her from, you know, simple egg butt to a full cheek because the turning wasn't working very well. And now that she's in a full cheek snaffle, she's turning beautifully. She's figured it out. And I'm trying to teach her the voice commands because wasn't doing anything with adding the leg. So now I'm trying to cluck and then use the lines and like kind of just like encourage her to go forward. The cool thing about line driving as opposed to lunging is you can, first of all, they're bent in the direction they're traveling. So it reduces, you know, when you lunge a horse, their nose is poked to the outside all the time. And so then they cross canter and they learn bad habits and they get their muscle memory wrong. And it causes a lot of mess when you're lunging a horse. When next time you lunge a horse, look at it and just be like, oh my gosh, like his nose is totally to the outside and they're cross firing or they're picking up the wrong lead. When you're long lining, you can bend them to the inside. Also, when you want them to slow down or stop, you can give an immediate reaction instead of, oh, ho, ho, please ho. Oh God, please ho. You know, it's like ho. And then you bring them back down to a walk or whatever you want to do. So I feel like I'm able to communicate better with my horse. And I actually have better control because then I can just turn them and go the other way, walk behind them, disappear behind them, send them over poles. I can do all sorts of fun stuff. And yeah, it takes practice to figure out the lines, but you get it. You'll get it. Get it. No problem. So it was fun.
Now, had you taken a clinic on that first when you first learned it?
I did. It was part of my intro course was the I did the join up and long lining course last summer. And I had long lined before because I worked at a dressage barn when I was younger. And it was like, you know, you long line before you even ride at that place. But this was a little different. It wasn't doing long lining at Monty's is not so, you know, like in dressage, they're like, you will march and you will stand up straight and you will have the lines perfect and they will not touch the ground and all that. Like Monty's like, let's just get it done in the most appropriate and safe way. Yeah. Jennifer just texted me or messaged me. Anal retentive long lining is basically what happened at that dressage barn I was at. This is like more.
Every time I see the tail of your line touch the ground, I twitch.
I know. You were in that anal retentive barn too.
I was there too.
You know what? Sometimes you have to actually just be more useful. You know, a green horse is not going to be perfect all the time. And so this is, to me, I hold those lines. I've got to let one get longer so I can shorten the other one and make the turn. It's no big deal that they're on the ground and stepping over them. You learn how to step over them. And so, and I know it freaks you out, but no, it's such a more effective way to do it as opposed to marching in my tall boots, which I did have to do in my tall boots and my breeches, and the lions never touched the ground and you must do this. And then I was terrible at it and I hated it and I was scared. Now I'm like, lines on the ground, change direction, step over the lines, keep going. Da, 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 da. It makes it so fun. And then I can introduce her to so much more stuff without having anybody sitting on her back. Baby Zara is going to get a long line like starting tomorrow. I swear. No, just kidding. But it's really great. It's really fun way to introduce them to stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. And you know, it's interesting about muscle memory because your mind has muscle memory too. So what you said earlier struck me. You said, well, you know, now you're basically thinking about things different, but you're doing it as an instinctive muscle memory as opposed to having to stop and say, okay, I can't do it this way anymore. It's starting to become a mental muscle memory for you.
Absolutely. It's crazy. I was just talking to Chad about it last night because I just feel like I'm a better parent because you just don't get upset or overly emotional about anything that could
because
be
that's human nature.
High energy, you know, high stress.
It is human nature to become emotional. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. You know what? Your horse does something wrong. Take this as an opportunity to redirect him and figure it out. Your kid does something wrong. Take the opportunity to redirect him. And it's really been amazing, actually, for being a parent. Speaking of, I'll give you guys some of my adoption updates. Speaking of parenting, if you want, on Friday.
Oh, good. Because we haven't had one in a while. That'd be terrific.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
What we've been going through. So there's no huge news or anything. I'm just still going through it. But we've plugged away at a lot of different things. So if you want, I'll kind of tell you a little bit more about it on Friday.
Definitely. And of course, tomorrow's Horse Husbands. We already recorded that, so that'll be out tomorrow. And then Friday is Really Bad Ads. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. I also recorded the final episode with Helena yesterday. Thank you to all of you who sent in messages. We pretty much had the tissue boxes the whole episode. That'll be coming out, hopefully.
Especially mine.
Yeah, yours. We actually ended on yours because it lightened things up a bit. Big surprise there. so it was. It's going to be a little bit longer than usual, a lot longer than usual, but I think you're going to enjoy us reminiscing about the last 9 years, and that'll be coming out hopefully later today. So look for that. And we'll be making some announcements here coming up too, and what's going to happen with the new Stable Scoop. I should have some of those announcements for you on Friday on this show as well. So that's all what's happening here on the Horse Radio Network. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you. Have a terrific day.
Spay, neuter, and gel. That's a good one.